wherever you go, however you go. For energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marisol. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How are you?
I'm so good. How was your weekend?
It was the perfect combination of restful and productive.
Yes.
Loved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mine was super productive. I don't know about restful, but productive, yes.
Well, I mean, we have to start the podcast talking about it last week. So we posted on Friday.
Yes.
The Kenley Pope interview.
Yes.
And I don't know how to describe it.
But it was wild.
But it went kook, kook. My phone kept dying. We were getting so many likes and tags and the number of downloads. I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I've mentioned before, my favorite thing is not necessarily that we get high numbers,
mm-hmm.
but I love when we get new listeners.
Yes.
And I know they're a new listener because they go and they download
everything.
So all our numbers jumped. Like everyone's podcast went up by thousands. So it was like, it was huge. It was huge. We found a lot of new listeners.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. And I was just, it just totally made my day. And we were getting so many tags with people complimenting us on the podcast.
It was awesome. It was fun.
It was.
I was nervous, but it was fun.
Yeah. I feel bad though, because I feel bad for two reasons. Because I feel like I was teasing you a little too much on that podcast, which I didn't mean to. you just were a little, you know, nervous.
I was a 13-year-old girl.
you were embodying our audience.
I was you. I was you guys. Yous guys.
But thank you very much, Kenley, for coming on. You were a huge hit, and really just, it was just a pleasure.
It was so much fun.
To post that. So that was intense.
That was a big jump. And then not only just like for the podcast, but like social media, like in general, we had like a big jump in like new followers, which was awesome. It was really cool to see the number go from like what it was to like.
My thing was on my Facebook. I don't know what podcast I'm talking about, my personal Facebook,
mm-hmm.
but when I get asked, you know, to a friend request from someone I don't know, and then I look and it's like, oh, it must be cheerleading
related.
Yeah. But you know, that's how I got a few. You know, of the, oh my gosh, we love your podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing this with my daughter. Thank you. I got like 2 or 3 of those, which really just, you know, warmed my heart, where it was like, where the moms and the cheerleaders were listening, were binge listening together. Mm-hmm. That was fun. So yeah, it was all good. It was all, it was intense. It felt like I was on a ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, from the, because we if you subscribe on SoundCloud or Apple, you'll get a notification when it's uploaded. I only commit to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You will have it available by Friday morning, but I might upload it earlier if everything's said and done.
Mm-hmm.
So those, you know, dedicated listeners get notification first and
right away.
So it really started Thursday night. Like the funny thing was, is I was texting you like,
yes.
Like constantly, like as the number, like I was just like, holy
by
moly.
Friday morning, we were already like a couple hundred in.
Yeah. I mean, we were in the 1,000 range by Friday. So I was like, whoa, like
it was berserk. It was wild. Y'all like us.
Thank
it's cool.
You. So that had me thinking about, well, a couple things. An intern, because, you know, I think, you know, you have a busy schedule. Mm-hmm. This is, Cheerbomb is like a very small part of my career.
Yeah.
Not a small part. It's a big part, but I only do it during the season, and it's not my source of income.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying. So, I don't want to not respond to someone if they're, you know, comment on their mm-hmm. social media. I don't want to not engage. So I was really feeling like, you know, we need some help, some administrative help. And so
we had a lot of people like reach out, and they like really
and they really
to help
want
us.
To intern with us. And it's, you know, I sent out emails last night. So if you haven't received one and you did and you were interested, email me at marisol@cheerbomb.com. But I already feel like we have like four candidates who really want to do this. And they would be part of the team, you know, help us book guests, help us with our social media and so on. So that's exciting. And I thought it would be fun to have like someone who might be able to come on like once a month as our intern and, you know, give us a little
background.
Well, I thought more like a social media, like some sort of segment related to social media, like, you know, bring that into the podcast somehow. So I don't know.
That'd be really fun. I'm so excited.
It's a work in progress.
This is so exciting.
But that led me into thinking about our topic for today. I thought about social media in relation to cheerleading and the sport. Because one of the things I did get feedback from the Kenley Pope interview was a couple of the fan pages. Did you see those on the...
I saw like the responses. Did you reach out to them first? Because it just like popped up on my lock screen. And I like went into some of them, but
no,
I don't think
I reached out. I mean, well, let me tell the audience what it was. So a lot of Kenley and Ryan's fan pages reply, you know, sent us DMs. All polite, all very nice. But some of them felt bad. You know, they listened to the interview and I think they thought, you know, I think I said something along the lines of like, oh, that can be creepy, mm-hmm. you know, having a fan page. And so it was a conversation I was having with a couple of the fan pages where I'm like, no. You know, I know that where you're coming from, your intention is you just are a huge fan and you love them. I think where it gets weird or creepy, especially it was when she mentioned the hate pages that came up. Like,
for why?
Why? Like, what? Anyway.
So what in her cheerleading career has made you hate anything, period?
Well, that's where I got the idea for the social media, because we have the fan page thing. So I wanted to talk about that. But then it was also in this, like, you know, constant social media weekend, mm-hmm. watching the numbers go up. I saw a video. I don't know who the cheerleader was, but she did a stunt that apparently is very iconic. Again, I don't know who it was, but she did this stunt. It looked beautiful to me. I don't know how.
Was she like in the air or on the floor?
She's on the air.
In the air. Okay.
But anyway, I just noticed it. It was like beautiful. And then I read the comments, and one of the comments said, Gabby Butler did this better, or something to that effect.
Oh.
And I got really annoyed. Like, I actually hit reply to, you know how you can hit reply to this person's comment? And I wrote out, this is what I wrote out. I did not hit send, though. Mm-hmm. I deleted it. But this was what my initial reaction was, who did not love you correctly enough, or that you feel that it's okay to say something like that? Like, why do you have to tear someone down to make yourself feel like, what was the purpose of that comment? I mean, you could rephrase it and say,
now,
I
how
loved
do you
it.
Feel about it.
Yeah, I loved it when Gabby Butler did it or something, but that negative comment spread negativity to me because I got angry and I wanted to reply. But cooler heads prevailed. And I realized that I am not the administrator of social media for the cheerleading industry. So I backspace. And I didn't, I mean, the way I had written it, I don't think I've done it justice saying it, you know, because when I write in an emotional
state.
You're
a writer, so you're awesome with words, so you can get anything out.
But luckily I deleted it, because what if she's like 10 or 12 years old? I could have like totally psychologically damaged her with, you know, like, who's not loving you well enough that you feel right. that this is okay?
No, yeah.
So I deleted it, but it made me start thinking about social media. I mean, we've heard this from many guests about the hate that they get on social media. And so I wanted to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, because cheerleading and social media are like joined at the hip.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheerleading is huge in social media.
So what do you think is the good about social media and cheerleading?
I like that the world, like, we can share this, like, with the world. Like, everyone can see, like, every, I feel like we've talked about it. Every country has, like, a different style. And, like, U.S., like, we're pretty banging. But then, like, there are other countries that are coming, like, Canada is right there, and they are awesome. Yeah. Those great whites are awesome. And even, there is an Asian country that is...
Philippines is amazing.
They are just insane. And they're coming for us. So, like, I love that the fact that we can...
You have a
global... We can share.
Yeah.
We can share this with the world. And, like, we can take, like, little pieces from, like, different countries and then use that to our...
See, I agree with you. And I think the other good thing about social media in the aspect of cheerleading is I think it connects a lot of kids. You know, the vast majority of fans who will probably not get to a world stage or to a major stage, but are creating, you know, these floor stunt challenges and, you know, posting these videos of themselves, recreating their, the stunts of teams that they adore. You know, it's just, I feel like it connects them universally, which is awesome. It's a good thing.
Absolutely. You
know? I think... Everyone just craves connection. Everyone wants to be seen. So that's good.
But wherever there's a good, there's an evil.
Well, here,
or where there's a bad.
I think there's a bad and an ugly. I think the bad, and I'm certainly guilty of this, is the addiction. I'm addicted to my phone. I'm not going to pretend that I have the answers. I'm not going to pretend that I didn't give phones to my kids probably sooner than they needed to be. Phones were not around. These smartphones were not around when I grew up.
Same.
And we are all in the... It was a social evolution that occurred in our time. And we have no long-term studies to know the effects.
Mm-hmm.
That it, you know, we have some short-term stuff that it's not looking good. Saying we're on...
But it's still so brand new.
So. It's so brand new. But I am concerned for these girls, or for these kids, these young adults. Because it is an addiction. And if you're addicted to anything, if you're doing anything too much, it's not a good thing. That's not balance in your life. And then the social media can turn ugly with these negative comments and these people who are, you know, hiding behind a computer screen who feel that they can say whatever the hell they want to say that could be, you know, really hurtful to people.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, when I started thinking about this podcast, I went looking, and yeah, people say the crappiest things to other people, and I don't know what purpose that serves. You know, like...
There is no purpose.
No.
Like, does it make you feel better?
Does it really? I mean...
How much better?
What value do you get out of that? I think the only value I can find is I think it has made these, cheerleading superstars... stronger. You know, they have a stronger mental game because mm-hmm. they learn at a very young age that they can't listen to the haters, which is a lesson that for most people take a lot. You're in your 30s or 40s
yeah.
to figure that out. So that's good for them. But I think for the whole industry, it just makes me sad that, you know, this is as common as it is. It's not necessary.
At all.
Um, So that
we're
was
I know we're not like sideline cheerleaders, like go team go, but like we're cheerleaders. We're supposed to like pick each other up and like keep everything positive. So I don't know like what they get from all this like hate mail.
I do. You know, another good thing about social media though is you get to keep up with the people that you're fans with or mm-hmm. of. Did you see Kennedy?
Yes, girl is back.
Kennedy Thames, number one
guest. And I think that was like her original stunt group, like from that team.
Oh, really?
See, so I think it was like a whole like,
I was
like
so,
reunion.
I was like so joyful when I saw that because I'm just happy for her because when you see her in her element, you know that, you know, she loves this. This is her.
Mm-hmm.
So being injured, being away from it, I don't know what her future holds, but nothing but the best wishes for her.
Love that girl.
I bet her dad was happy.
Oh, you know it. You know it. Ricky is all about it.
So,
that's such a fun family.
The one thing I want to circle back on with the social media is I'm going to put this in the show notes. There is this wonderful video. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, Sanuk, but his first name is Simon. And, it kind of went semi-viral on Facebook a couple months ago, but he has this great, it's like a 13-minute video about the effects of social media mm-hmm. on millennials, how it has added to depression and, you know, a lot of things. And it's, for every parent out there, I highly recommend that you check it out. Give yourself the 13 minutes to watch it because it's really informative. And we need to keep an eye out on the social media thing because, you know, it's happening to us right now. We have no historical data to be like, hey, if you have 7 hours of screen time in a day, you might XYZ.
Your brain may come through your nose.
You might melt.
From elder millennial, I do think that it is important. Sometimes we may need to put our phones down. Elder millennial. I just realized that I think I am like the first, generation, like early generation of, like the whole like smartphone and the whole like social media thing.
And the thing is, it's not only just addiction that's a problem for the older, kids, they're kids to me, but older teenagers. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've been so grateful that I did not have a phone during my puberty years. or that when I was, you know, oh my God. But I'm just really grateful because I think my life would have taken a completely different track. But another, you know, concern I have about social media is the laws have not really caught up with it in certain parts of our country, at mm-hmm. least. I know teenagers use their phones as a way of, you know, flirting and texting, and pictures are sent back and forth. And to pretend that that's not happening would be a disservice for me as a parent mm-hmm. to not be aware of that. Like I can sit here and say, oh, my kids are perfect and they would never do something like that. Yeah, then I'm going to be a parent in denial when you get the text from another parent saying, hey, your son sent, you know, X pictures.
Yeah.
or, you know, hey, I have pictures of your daughter, you know.
Oh, that is terrifying. I couldn't imagine.
Well, I have not experienced, I've experienced some stuff that was uncomfortable about my kids on social media, but through friends who have older kids than I, or me, did I say that right? You know, I know of boys who have gotten in trouble because they've sent pictures. They're under the age of 18 and they sent a picture to a girl their same age. And, you know, the threat of them being put on the sexual mm-hmm. offender registry was very real, very, very real for something that everyone's doing. So, and like, when I say, you know, the laws haven't caught up, is that really fair? Because, you know, is that really fair? Because so many of those boys who are sending these pictures, I know girls are sending pictures
something
too.
Back, yeah.
It's not a one-way street. They're, you know, And the shaming, but the shaming is different for girls and boys. Though I feel like boys are legally in a more precarious situation. I think the girls get shamed.
Yes.
Much quicker.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I don't know. It's not a topic we can do one time and find a solution.
Have the conversation.
But I'm definitely hoping that cheerleading as an industry, you know, we focus on the positive. We bring each other up, and this tearing down crap is unnecessary. So, and you know who spoke about positivity?
Brandon.
Who's that? You want to tell our audience?
Brandon Hale, owner, director, top person of Showtime Productions. It's really I'm really excited because it was a really fun interview. Y'all know his voice, y'all know his work, and he is just a master at what he does. And he was just nominated for International Choreographer of the Year.
Let's go to it.
Okay, so I have been really excited about this one. We have owner of Showtime Productions, Brandon Hale. How's it going, Brandon?
Going well.
So good. So
he's on vacation in the Dominican Republic. It's going great for
so
him.
He is literally living
going our great. Life.
All right, so Brandon, tell the world how you came into our lovely sport of cheerleading.
Cheerleading. I would say it started when I was younger. I used to dance first. I used to dance for the WNBA, the Washington Mystics, in middle school. Then it, we did like a lot of game day things. We did a lot of sideline fun, which led me into like the whole sideline aspect, which moved forward into school cheer, which I went to T.C. Williams High School. So if you've seen Remember the Titans, that's my school. which was pretty fun. I loved it. Did that for a couple of years and got to be captain and all that stuff. And then I moved on where some of the kids had been into All-Star. So that got me connected with All-Star cheerleading. And I did it, started at All-Star Legacy in Dulles, Virginia. And moved on forward from there, went on to Cheerstream All-Stars, and then coaching there. Now in choreography, everywhere, I guess.
Literally all over the world.
Journey.
I used to be a dancer.
Yeah,
that's my only tie into cheer, besides having a child, is I used to dance professionally.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Professionally?
Well, I got paid $16, so I'm allowed to say that.
Oh, no, that's professional.
I was at the Miami Ballet.
That's a job.
You professional dancer, you? All right, so when did Show Pro come up? Like, how did that start?
Around 2009 is when I started doing choreography. It started as a one-man show and it's moved on to way, way, way more. And we've gotten more staff throughout and more teams and just more years and more experience.
Well, let me, ask this because we've interviewed a few cheerleaders, in different phases of their cheer career, some of them exiting, and you know, a common theme is that they still want to stay in the world of cheer, even if they can't be in cheerleading. And I don't know that everyone wants to open a gym or if everyone wants to be a coach. And, you know, they're always looking for innovative ways to stay in cheer. What makes a choreographer? Like, what would you be looking for someone to join your team? Like, what's the distinction between a choreographer and a cheer coach?
One of the first things that we look for is the ability to communicate with people and work with kids. I think that's the best thing. It's mutual between a choreographer and a coach. I think it's something that's needed. And the understanding that these are kids that go out and do these routines, not adults. So your ability to adjust to different age groups is like one of the first things I look for. And then just what kind of person you are. If you're a fighter, if you're somebody who's willing to go above and beyond for someone else, that's a trait we like to have. And then the creativity is something that comes with it after being around each other and years of working with different genres of people and different age groups and divisions and, you know, backgrounds of people. I think the creativity is inspired by those individuals. So the creativity is probably the last thing we look for.
I have a layman's question.
Okay.
Can you guys, like you, expert, you and Marcus and others, can you recognize a team and kind of know who was the choreographer? Are we still too young of an industry for that to happen?
Oh, no. I don't think so. Brandon, I feel like I can tell your choreography pretty good. I've been watching it for a good amount of time. I feel like I can tell you choreography. Okay, because
it's very common in dance. That's how it is in dance. So yeah. I was just wondering if there were styles out there.
Yeah, I definitely think you can see, and I think everyone has preferences. It's like, who's a great one? Like Ray Jasper has a very distinct style. His material is usually consistently great. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can tell who's done what, like which teams they work with. And some people are just consistent with the programs they work with. Like Wes Haley is another great one who will always work with Gym Time. It's just like, you know, when you see a very, very good Gym Time routine, he probably had a hand in it.
So what is, like, what's the distinction between a cheer choreography? I'm not using that word correctly. and like a dance, like you get the music for, like, can you walk us through the whole creative process of
unknown caller. Unknown caller.
Well, I always say that we are more than just a choreography company. We're entertainment specialists. So we like to create like moments and heartfelt. We like to keep you on the edge of your seat. Yeah. And do the things that make no sense that we make it make sense. So the creativity is mostly inspired by the atmosphere and the people that are in it. So, you know, let's say this girl's really, really tall. We're going to use her arms and swing another child across the room. And only this girl can do it, you know, only this girl can do it because she has the body that we're looking for. Or, you know what I mean? That this flyer also has a great tumbling pass. Let's throw her back out of her stunt. You know, so it's really, really based off what is in front of us. I always say like the people in the room are paint. I use them as paint. And the more paint that we have, the more usable material we can create. And you sometimes blend some colors together to get a new color that you've never seen before. And that's how we get the most creative routines that we have done.
That's a beautiful analogy. I was going to go with food and ingredients. I like this one better, creating art. Because that's what I always describe it. When I see a routine that sticks for me, mm-hmm. it's art. It's like art in motion. I couldn't tell you what the tumbling pass was, couldn't tell you who they are per se, but I can tell you I was holding my breath or
the
I
visual.
Went. Yeah. Here's a question.
We always teach the kids that good cheerleading doesn't have a level. It has a look. So our level one teams are expected to look like our world teams.
Absolutely.
Our level three teams are supposed to look like our fives. Our fives are supposed to look like our ones.
Absolutely.
We try to make the feeling and the emotion come to life more than just the look of it. You know, just a little first glance of what skills we're doing. You try to make sure you enjoy the whole entire show.
I love that. So are you more heavy based in the beginning or like in the summer? Like in the choreography scene, or do you go in afterwards also and clean up or change routines after people have gotten bids to?
This became one hodgepodge. summer, and then it laid low, and now it's not. Like we did Worlds, we did Summit, we did D2, we went straight to Australia because they're on a different circuit than us.
Yeah.
And we went right back to work. We didn't have a break. We just went right back into it, and that was back in I would say like March, April, May, June, maybe May-ish, the end of May. And then everybody else is getting going in June. So it just didn't pause and we just kept going. Our routines, we do try to keep up with them all throughout the season. Of course we get new teams as the season goes, you know, people who wanted, you know, upgrades to the routines they have that weren't show pro teams, or, you know, some of our teams had injuries and, you know, there's things that happen throughout the season that make you have to upgrade and change because of personnel or whatever, but we try to keep up with what we have. for the most part.
How many teams, just a roundabout number, how many teams have you worked with this season so far?
About 200.
Do you go into, do you personally work with all of those teams, or do you like send some of your people out?
I'm usually, I won't say I personally work with every team, but I make sure I'm overseeing them all. I'm usually at every camp. It's very rare where you won't see me at a camp. Even if the staff is working on another team and I'm working with, on the other floor with another team, it's rare that you won't see me at a show pro camp. I try to attend all of them, and I try not to get too big that we don't have that personable effect. And I'm still, even if I'm on another mat, we do video reviews every night, and we're just making sure we're all on the same page to get these teams to where they need to be.
I have another layman question. So when I watch in person, it's a totally different experience than when I watch it on video. Like on video, I get the chance to watch it again and again, and I don't have that energy feel that I have when it's in person. Is that translatable in like your choreography? Like, do you choreograph for the live audience, for the judges, for video? Like, does that play a part? Because so many of the people watching now, or not, I'm not sure I'm articulating correctly, but the sport's growing so much that we're watching.
I would say we choreograph for the, I think the whole thing, I think we choreograph for the experience in general.
Yeah.
The overall should be a full experience. You should be able to get the powerful effect when you're seeing it once or seeing it 30 times. It shouldn't lose value.
Yeah.
So it is a big difference, though, being in the room of and seeing the emotion and seeing how everyone's interacting and seeing the mat talk and seeing all the things that you probably don't catch on video.
Yeah.
As much. And the emotion and the way they make you feel as you're watching it. Those are things that you can't get via video. So I definitely think those are things that could be taught and things that we definitely take into consideration when we make our routine.
So Marcus was telling me before we started recording some of the teams that you've choreographed for, and we've known some of the people.
Yeah. Evolution Cheer, you worked with them. We had a challenge
last year
for our 2019 calendar. And some of the Evolution Cheer girls that you worked with are going to be on our calendar.
Yeah, if we have one.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, they were very sweet.
And
they won.
And
they won Summit.
Yes, they D2, yeah. I believe. Or, D2, yes.
Their first time ever.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yes, they are D2.
Being a choreographer, what does that feel like to watch that performance and then like watch the other team's performances and then
a winning choreographer.
Yeah.
Why can't I say that word? Having a winning choreographer.
It's like the ultimate payoff, I guess, when you put so much time and energy and invest like everything you have into these teams just to hope they get that moment. It's very, very rewarding to see them make it as far as they do. You know, sometimes like whatever the team, each team has a different goal, and to see them getting close to their goals or accomplishing their goals is amazing. And when they surpass those goals, it's even better. So I think each situation is different. I mean, like I said, we had a team from Australia this year. They had never ever won their pinnacle or whatever they have, but kind of like the summit. So their goal is a little bit different from our teams here, and they got their first ever actual summit bid this season. So like you just have to take the moment with the team and appreciate their journey and their story. And I think, when you have enough of them, you see what really matters in the sport and what doesn't.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I was talking to Marisol about, Inside Cheerleader recognizing, Twist and Shout Diamonds as a most entertaining team. You had a hand in that too, didn't you?
Yes, I love my diamonds. they are very entertaining individuals, and then when they come to together as a team, it's even way more powerful. So, I think that was very well put, and I'm glad they got the opportunity to recognize in such a way.
I watched that routine like literally over and over and over again, and it just looks like they're having so much fun out there.
They have a lot of rituals that they do as a team, and it keeps the camaraderie like spot on. Like it keeps them, like the kids that are new to the team, they learn the traditions and they learn the ways. They do a lot of game day cheers, like actually cheesy clapping, and it really, really helps keep them. It keeps them focused and on the same page, and it reminds them that, like, yo, we got to have fun. If we're not having fun, then our job was not going to be, it won't be done the way we know we can do it.
Well, you must have like a very unique perspective, because you come into different gyms, different organizations, different, you know, teams. What do you, I mean, you must see a commonality with the best practices of teams that are successful. Like if you were writing a book, what would be like the, you know, top three common things you've noticed on a team that just breeds success?
I would say willingness to give themselves to the process. A team that is willing to give their entire self away to the process is the ones that are successful. I noticed the coaches that are very, very dedicated get that same dedication in return. And so if you're willing to give your whole self to the process, it actually comes out in your favor, and it's a little bit easier. And sometimes it could be two athletes on the team that are not willing to do that, and it can be detrimental to everyone that's put any ounce of energy into the process. I just think being on the same page really, really, really means more than anything.
I think that's a huge point, because it could literally be one or two people. It could be a cheerleader, it could be a parent, it could be a coach that could just ruin it for everyone combined. Because it's a team sport.
And it takes your focus away from the goals of the team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
exactly.
I totally could see that.
Do you have, just a little tea. Do you have like a favorite team or a favorite gym that you like to go to? I won't tell anyone, I promise.
Well, it will always go back to the home team. I think Small Senior X takes the cake on that one, just because the years of time put into that, and the traditions that you learn over time, and the prestigiousness that they have created. And I've always taken teams that are underdogs, and I know that's probably not what people think of as an underdog, but we've only won twice in our division. We're the longest lasting team in the division. And it's just a lot to be proud of outside of the medals. A lot of those girls have grown on to be doctors and just bigger things than just cheerleading. So to me, that would be my favorite. They're all great, but
throw that out there. Yes.
So
they have a special place in your
heart. So it matters.
Again, SSX this year, I have literally watched that routine, and like, being a dancer myself, I'm one to I'll watch opening, I'll watch elite stunt. I'll probably fast forward or skip through running, tumbling, and pyramid. Depends on the pyramid, depends on the team. and then I'll just go straight to dance, and I'll probably learn it. SSX is routine.
Okay. I love it.
SSX is routine. I have watched in one sitting probably 15 times, just going back and forth, just from beginning to end, 15 times in a row. I am obsessed, and I'm a senior elite girl.
Yeah.
But SSX is everything, and I may have learned the dance already.
Well, that's the thing about this sport that I think makes it a little bit different than other sports is, I mean, that's how this whole podcast kind of came about with my kid. Was I thought of cheerleading as an after school activity, just something she did. It was when she was singing songs that weren't part of her routine, when she was memorizing routines that weren't hers, when she was asking me to purchase used people's sports bras. I was like, wait, I want to learn more about this. And I was asking Marcus before we started recording, I'm like, I don't really think that there's rivalries that I am aware of, at least from social media. Obviously everyone wants to win, and there's competitiveness. I keep hearing, oh, Panthers is going to do it again, this year. but I don't really know that there's like, you know, the equivalent of a Duke UNC, right? Or is there? Are there?
I know.
I wouldn't say we have any rivalries. We, especially when it comes to show pro, I actually try to bring the gyms together. So we have sister teams. So a lot of our world teams you'll see with another gym and another program. We try to get sportsmanship back. So, you know, right now it's Twisted Shout Diamonds and Small Senior X. And then we have Lady Jags and Small X. And it's just so many of them. And we have J1 and Cali Crystal for our level ones. We try to bring the sportsmanship back into the sport and make it so that each kid has somebody. Everyone needs a cheerleader, even when you're out there, and make sure they have somebody in their corner and make sure somebody is going to be responsible for getting them all the way over the finish line, which is easy to lose in the middle of the season, like where we are now. It's easy to get on a break and forget everything that you've been working towards. And those sister teams kind of help you stay on track. And I noticed it now that, I mean, I looked online the other day and I saw like Shooting Stars and Senior Elite. I was like, whoa, that's really cool that they're following the trends that have been set and they're doing it in a good reason, in a good light. And that I really appreciate that because I'm like, that's what the sport needs. That's what we need more of. That's so like today's day, the cheer nons are at an all time high. and we don't really need to put our time into that. We don't really need to put our into that or give it the attention. We just need to be the opposite. And really try to bring positivity back into the sport.
That's what you were totally relating, because we have this segment called Dear Marcus and Marisol, where, you know, cheerleaders write in or parents or coaches write in, and we've been talking about actually minimizing that segment, maybe doing it once a month versus every episode, because we don't want to bring negativity.
All that negativity.
You know, it's the constant like complaining about this or that, or, you know, whatever dynamic is going on, that's going to happen. And sure, we should address it here and there, but there's so much more to talk about in this sport than that, you know, than the negative stuff. Let's focus.
Exactly.
Yeah, focus.
Exactly.
So I have one last question that I'm going
to We have one routine this year that's actually dedicated to that. It's Championship Heat, and the whole concept is called Be the Light. And so we've just try to bring positivity into cheerleading over and over and over. This past month, we did a heat drive where we collected all things heat and we gave it to the homeless. So we did gloves. I personally gave away every jacket that I've ever worn. So all my NCAA jackets are now worn by someone who needs it more.
Aww.
Hold on. And all of my NCAA jackets.
They just gave and gave and gave.
Well, that's good. Huh? No.
Did you say all of my NCAA jackets? I mean,
Marcus is having a lot.
Marcus is in need and needs an NCAA jacket.
The UCA, you know, GFS,
I want them all
away.
I want them all. Marisol.
And it was just cool because even when the people who didn't cheer, just to see what they needed. So we asked the guy, you know, if you need a shoe, if you need a socks, and he's like, no, I have socks. And you ask another guy, you need a glove. No, I have gloves. So we're like, you're wearing a jacket. What do you need? And he just puts his arms out and was like, all I needed was a hug. And it was the simplest thing that anybody could do, whether if you're a cheerleader or not. And it's just, that's what we think being the light is. And we hope that more people could jump on board with that and spread positivity whenever they can.
That's so awesome.
That's what we try to do. We focus a lot on gratitude, things to be grateful for.
Marisol,
yes.
Did you know that Brendan also does music?
No, cheer music or like non-cheer music?
Both.
No, I did not know that.
Yes, I do cheer vocals with Kyle Blitch and JR and Spirit Vibe. I've been doing that for a while now.
I have a bet with one of my coaches, Mike at Cheerinfinity. Are you in F5's music from last year?
I am.
Are you? What is your voiceover?
F5 hitting hard. Whoa, heavy hitter. I'm a Kyle Babe Ruther. You can get the picture.
Yeah,
right at the end of the pyramid going into the dance.
I love.
Who won that bet?
Huh?
Who won that bet?
I did.
Beep. Bloop. You won that bet. Yes, that is me. I'm in a lot of them, so. Or the TGLC from last year. There's a lot of them, but yeah, I love doing voiceovers.
So you do a lot. So you're like an he's a full on entrepreneur,
like all the way in like, the biz.
Well, I love that, and we have so many people who like, you know, the last like, oh, how do I start a podcast? Or, you know, they don't believe that they can do a YouTube channel or a music thing or something. And I'm like, I have a podcast. I don't know how I did it. just do it. Just try. Just get out of your comfort zone. That's when the magic happens. So
started with a vision and a plan. Mm-hmm.
And that's how I am sitting here today. Literally.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, were you ready? Did you tell them about Rapid Fire?
Oh, no. I was. It was just going to be a surprise.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brandon, for doing this. I'm going to throw you over to Marcus. He's going to ask you some, in quotation marks, rapid fire questions so the audience could just learn a little bit about you in a fun way. But thank you so much for doing this. I love creative people. I think people that create anything out of nothing as God's gift to humanity. So keep doing what you're doing, and thank you so much for being on the show.
All right,
no problem. Thank you for having me.
Marcus's rapid fire is not really rapid at all, but I'm just gonna ask you some questions. I want to hear the first thing that pops to your head. We'll start pretty simple. Ready, set, go. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Pay It Forward.
That's a good one. Favorite television show?
Ooh. Favorite television show? It'd probably be Marvel's Runaways right now.
I've heard really good stuff about it.
Yeah.
Favorite routine that you have not been in?
Or choreographed?
That you have not like performed in, like back in the day, or choreographed.
That I have not been a part of. Probably has to be TDLC 2007.
Classic. Oh, 2007.
2007 or eight? 2008 probably. 2008 is really good.
What did they dance to that year?
They danced. I want to say Score.
Score, you know, tonight.
Score tonight.
It's Grease 2. That's a good, it's a classic. I did learn that one. I showed Lee Gerbstein.
Not to interrupt Rapid Fire, but you know how VH1 used to have those like behind the scenes documentaries of cheerleading? Mm-hmm. I wish someone would do like a historical for people that are like, when you guys reference these.
Yeah.
You know, things that my child was one, so I have no idea. That would be awesome.
I'll work on it.
Like a YouTube channel, History of Cheer.
Or I'll work on it. It would be the Score or All for One.
Oh, All for One. See, you see, you're just bringing me back to my old dancing days. That's my old learning
all
routines.
All for One. Yeah, it's one of those. Now you can ask what they dance to.
Favorite social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram?
We'll say Twitter. It's the most inclusive.
It is. And last one, what are you grateful for?
Opportunities. All the opportunities that I've been awarded. That's a lot to be grateful for.
That's a new one. We haven't heard that one. That's a good one. All right, Brandon, I had so much fun. This is so exciting. It's always good to catch up with an old friend.
Yes.
You two know each other?
Thank you for having me.
I didn't pick that up. I didn't pick up on that.
Yes,
it's always good. Thank you so much for being with us. We're so excited.
Yes, and keep me updated.
Absolutely.
That was a fun. I loved his positivity. I love when we have. Sorry, I'm trying to move my phone because that back noise is from my phone. You know, when we had TJ, when we had Robert, Sienna, and a couple other people who have a post cheerleading career that is not necessarily being a gym owner or necessarily just a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I love how that opens up the idea to other people out there that, you know, love cheer so much. Or even when we had Patricia Duffy from Inside Cheer as well, people that can circle back and have a career in cheerleading. And he's doing
phenomenal all over the world.
How does a choreography thing work? Like, how do you hire someone to come? Like, how does a gym do that? Like, what's the politics behind that?
You email them?
Well, I'm just saying.
Ask them numbers.
But does a gym say something like, okay, we need some fresh blood or we need some new ideas for our routine? Like, how common is it?
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah.
I know we use TJ a lot.
TJ he would come in and, like, check, make sure. We have the privilege of him, like, living here. So, like, whenever he is, like, in town, he would, like, come in and just, like, take a peek.
I think he's in Australia now.
Oh, is he?
I think so.
Good God.
Lucky, lucky, lucky.
He would just, like, take a peek and make sure that, like, everything was legal, everything, and make sure, like, our numbers were right. Because cheerleading is 100% a numbers game. Mm-hmm. Like, you need a certain amount of people in the air for the amount of people that are on the floor. And it's just a whole bunch of numbers.
It's a formula, right?
Yes.
So the so I guess I asked the question wrong. What would inspire someone to hire a choreographer from the outside versus using someone from the inside? Is it sometimes like you just need fresh ideas? You know, I know.
Yeah, someone different. Mainly work. They're not necessarily like work ethic, but like their actual, like their visual work, making
their
sure
art. To me, it's art.
Art, absolutely.
In my opinion, my absolutely non-cheerleading expert opinion.
Because I do research. I know a lot of choreographers. Like, I know their work, and I know what they do, how they communicate, like with an athlete, and like how they work with the people, how they work with the teams and athletes that they are working with. So that plays a big factor.
Because the reason I'm asking is because as a dancer, you could be a magnificent dancer and not have the talent to choreograph.
Absolutely.
For, you know, anything. But to your point of like how complicated, to me at least, mm-hmm. the cheerleading scoring is, and what the requirements are for each different level and so on and so on. I mean, that's like a high level, like, you know, you not only have to be talented as a choreographer artistically, you have to also be so aware, you know, put all these other components into something. It's not as simple as a dance routine.
You have to know your score sheet.
Yeah. Well, I am really grateful that he came on. I loved his positive attitude.
Oh, yes. I love he turned it into a performance. And I love, and like, it is a performance, but he turned it into a show. And that's something I've always admired about his work.
Send me a video of one of your favorite of his, so I'll put it in the show notes. Ha, you got show notes. You got some show note assignments. Thank you, everyone, for listening again, for downloading, and for taking us with you. I want to take a few minutes to talk about majors, because everyone listening, it's this weekend. It'll post Friday, and it'll be Friday.
Yes,
so.
I was going to say, it's today.
It's today.
Right now.
I always refer to girls, and I don't mean to be gender, you know, biased. Yeah. Sorry. Cheerleaders know about majors. But I, as a parent, it was last year that I was introduced to it. I didn't really, you know mm-hmm. much about it. So I feel like there's a part of our audience that doesn't know a lot about it. So mm-hmm. can you tell them what majors is like and what they should be looking for?
Majors is a one-day invite-only competition. Teams from all over the country go to, I believe, it's in Indianapolis this year.
I thought it was every year, but
was it every? Is it every year? I feel like maybe it's Champions League that they change.
Some teams are going Friday to that, and then they still have a competition somewhere else this weekend.
I'm only saying this because I pretty much know his schedule. Darnell Harris, he's going to majors, and then I know some of his teams are still competing or are going to majors, and then coming back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and competing at Spirit of Hope.
So this is the one also that they have, they dress up, right?
And have the, I believe.
So
they have
do the they, pass. They compete during the day and then they have like a prom in the evening? Or is it
or vice versa? Or maybe like a Thursday, they have the ball on Thursday and then compete Friday.
Okay. We have someone who's going to majors for the first time who is going to come on next week and tell us what the experience
that
is
so wild.
Like.
That's so exciting.
So we'll do a post-majors little thing, but I'm excited to watch.
Be on the lookout for the schedule. We'll post it.
We'll post the schedule. I want to see, I know, I basically want to see everyone. That's
absolutely.
So that's my plan for next weekend. So
a lot of our favorites are going to be there. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Thank you everyone for listening. Make sure to share and subscribe and sign up for our show notes. Just give us your email address on our website and you will automatically be added to it. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast, check out our Amazon store on our website. Our product this week that we are promoting is the
I wish there was a camera in here watching me model this for you.
I know. It's a 1 gallon water bottle. It has cute little labels on it that tells you 7 a.m. good morning, you know, 1 p.m. that's it. You know, 7 p.m.
I'm sorry,
a
I'm moving it and modeling it. You're trying to read it.
But if hydrating is important to you or your athlete, and
hydration should be important to you and your athlete,
Please check it out in our store and maybe buy yourself one.
I love it.
One.
I want one.
Yay. All right, Marcus, it's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you, Marisol. It's been a pleasure.
Hey there. This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheer Bomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast. Have a great week.
Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.
So you're ready to ask the biggest question of your life. The only question before that question. How do you find the perfect ring to ask it with? With the incredible selection of diamonds at Jared and our price match guarantee, you can dare to stop searching and find the perfect diamond at a price you'll love. Visit your local Jared store today and dare to be devoted.
We promise to match any price on a like loose certified diamond of the same quality from any other jewelry retailer. See jared.com/pricematch for details.